Hello and welcome to Venezuela Analysis Radio and our 74th headline report. I'm Michael Fox, and these are the headline news from Venezuela from February 17th through February 24th, 2009. First off, in political news, with nearly all votes counted last week, Venezuela's National Electoral Council released their latest results from the February 15th constitutional referendum to eliminate term limits. According to the Electoral Council's latest vote count, the yes vote actually increased its victory to just under 55%. This is a half a point higher than the first preliminary results that were released a few hours after polls closed, and roughly 90% of the votes had been counted. All told, more than 6,300,000 Venezuelan citizens voted in favor of amending Venezuela's constitution to eliminate the two-term limit on all elected offices. Nearly 5,200,000 voted against the proposal. This new count increases the margin of difference between the two sides by a full percentage point to nearly 10%. Tibisay Lucena, president of the National Electoral Council, stated also that abstention was even lower than first announced, at just over 30% of registered voters, making this one of the most attended electoral events of the past 10 years. Only the 2006 presidential election had a higher participation rate, with nearly 75% participation. Out of roughly 16 million registered voters, more than 11,700,000 participated in Sunday's referendum. And in the aftermath of the vote, anti-amendment leaders quickly conceded defeat on February 15th, although they accused government institutions of inappropriately promoting the amendment. Meanwhile, government officials praised the high voter turnout and denounced the private media for distorting information in its campaign against the amendment. In contrast, opposition leader Leopoldo López said the amendment's victory marked, quote, "the materialization of violence against the Constitution and the burial of the state of law. We need to have a project in which all Venezuelans fit. What we have now is profound division and conflict." Prior to Sunday's vote, Venezuela's Supreme Court and National Electoral Council had reviewed and given the go-ahead to the national referendum, which the National Assembly proposed in line with constitutional procedures. Several Venezuelan government ministers praised the high voter turnout. Venezuela's Indigenous Affairs Minister Nisim Maldonado highlighted the strong support for the amendment in the states of Amazonas and Delta Amacuro, where large percentages of Venezuela's indigenous population voted more than 70% in favor of the constitutional change. Echoing President Chavez's post-referendum speech, Maldonado said Venezuela should now embark on a period of the three R's: revision, rectification, and relaunch. And on the heels of the referendum vote, both Chavez supporters and the opposition say that the other had the campaign advantage. Chavez supporters argued that the opposition's dominance over the media gave it an extra hand during the amendment campaign. According to Jesse Chacon, who was in charge of communication for the Simón Bolívar campaign in support of the yes vote, the opposition had more than 70% of the coverage in the print and TV media. Chacon said the media has, quote, "become a political actor," and that it is, quote, "very far from being an intermediary between reality and the citizen." He also criticized the polls that had predicted a win for the no vote, saying there are, quote, "few serious pollsters in the country." Meanwhile, the opposition argues that the yes side used government resources in its campaign. They are now proposing a law against such abuse. Former 2006 opposition presidential candidate Manuel Rosales said the yes victory was undeserved because it had used government resources in its campaign. He said, quote, "it is a victory that comes from the unscrupulous, improper, vulgar, and obscene use of state resources and state powers." The opposition wants to propose a law that would regulate the use of government resources and power in future elections. Rosales said he would propose a meeting with the government to discuss such a law. In international news on the referendum, United States State Department spokesperson Gordon Duguid said in a daily press briefing 2 days after the vote that, quote, "it's my understanding that the referendum took place in a fully democratic process." Duguid said that it was a matter for the Venezuelan people. When asked about the results of the referendum, Duguid said, quote, "the process was held consistent with democratic principles. In the United States, we have term limits. That's our practice." Still in international news, French President Nicolas Sarkozy sent a letter to Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez last week congratulating him on the victory of the constitutional referendum to eliminate term limits. Sarkozy wrote, "the referendum was characterized by strong participation that demonstrates yet again the vitality of democracy in Venezuela. I hope the results will allow you to continue the policies you have implemented in the past 10 years, especially those improving social justice and reducing inequality in your country." The French president also expressed his desire for strengthened dialogue and cooperation between the two countries, noting that 10 agreements currently exist between the two nations. Still in international news, Chinese Vice President Xi Jinping wrapped up his official visit to Venezuela last week, signing a dozen new agreements with Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, in the areas of energy, telecommunications, information, and agriculture. She pledged another $8 billion towards a joint development fund for projects in the South American country, while Venezuela agreed to contribute an additional $4 billion. Chavez said the fund will be used for development in education, health, and infrastructure in Venezuela. The agreements are the newest sign of the increasingly close ties between Caracas and Beijing, which Chavez says adds up to nearly 300 signed documents and advanced projects. In the field of energy, agreements were signed allowing for preliminary steps towards new drilling projects in Venezuela's Orinoco Basin, the creation of a company to manufacture oil tankers, and multiple refineries on Chinese soil, including one that would process up to 400,000 barrels of crude oil per day. In honor of Xi's visit, Chavez formally inaugurated Venezuela's first cell phone factory, the Venezuelan Telecommunications Corporation, which was constructed with Chinese support and technology in the northern state of Falcón. The factory will eventually produce roughly 1 million cell phones yearly in addition to landline, cordless telephone, and related parts. The leaders also signed new agricultural accords, including an irrigation project with the Orinoco River in central Venezuela. Chavez announced that of the $6 billion originally deposited in the Joint Development Fund, $4 billion had been spent on more than 40 projects, of which just over a dozen are agricultural. Over the last year, trade between the countries grew by more than 70%, surpassing $10 billion per year. And still in international news, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez met with Cuban President Raul Castro and former Cuban President Fidel Castro in Havana, Cuba last Friday and Saturday to discuss binational relations and the international economic crisis. Venezuela, an OPEC nation, has invested oil dollars in economic integration initiatives with Cuba and many other Central and South American countries. Chavez says these projects are meant to help Cuba manage the effects of the U.S. economic blockade, construct alternatives to international financial institutions, and promote development in agriculture, industry, healthcare, solar energy, oil refining, and anti-poverty programs. During last week's visit, Chavez was accompanied by Venezuelan Energy Minister Rafael Ramirez, Foreign Relations Minister Nicolas Maduro, Chief of Staff Luis Reyes, and the Vice President of the State Oil Company PDVSA, Astrubal Chavez. In economic news, the Venezuelan government took over the Venezuelan branch of the Stanford Bank last week after reports that Alan Stanford's assets had been frozen, causing panicked Venezuelans to withdraw their savings from the international bank. The Venezuelan move came after a U.S. civil court froze the assets of Alan Stanford, the Stanford Group, and subsidiaries Stanford International Bank and Stanford Capital Management. Last Tuesday, the Texas Alan Stanford was accused of $8 billion in fraud and of luring investments with promises of improbably high returns. For days, he couldn't be found, but he has been located by the FBI. Stanford is chairman of the Stanford Financial Group, a company founded by his grandfather. The group is a network of affiliated financial service companies, mostly in the U.S., Caribbean, and Latin America. Stanford Bank Venezuela's assets are separate to the Stanford International Bank, but there has been a wave of panicked withdrawals. In just 48 hours, clients withdrew 57 million bolivars, or roughly $26 million. The Venezuelan National Superintendent of Banks and other financial institutions quickly made the decision to put the bank under government control and then put it up for resale. Venezuelan Finance Minister Ali Rodriguez highlighted that the government takeover of the Stanford subsidiary in Venezuela was, quote, absolutely separate to the Venezuelan financial system. Rodriguez said that until the withdrawals, the Stanford Bank had been stable. The ex-finance minister and current director of the social investment group, Nelson Merentes, said the measures taken by the government were efficient and will protect the people with savings in Stanford. The Stanford Bank represents roughly 1% of the banking system in Venezuela. It only has 15 branches in the country. Colombia, Panama, Ecuador, Mexico, and Peru have also suspended Stanford Bank activities. In ag news, campesino rights groups marched in the city of San Felipe in Venezuela's Yaracuy state last Saturday to demand justice for the assassination of Nelson Lopez, a campesino rights organizer. Lopez was shot 15 times in the back on Thursday, February 19th. He is one of more than 200 small farmers to be murdered since 2001, the year the Chavez government passed the sweeping land reform law, which allowed for the redistribution of idle land to small farmers. According to Braulio Alvarez, a National Assembly representative and campesino organizer from Yaracuy State, the heads of the National Cattle Ranchers Association, the National Federation of Cattle Ranchers, and two powerful landowners were responsible for planning Lopez's murder. The Cattle Ranchers Associations have not issued a response to the accusations. And that's all from Venezuela Analysis Radio for February 17th through February 24th, 2009. For more information or for the complete stories, you can visit VenezuelaAnalysis.com. Where you can also sign up for our podcasts and get all the latest news and information from Venezuela. From South America, for Venezuela Analysis, I'm Michael Fox.